Our Bible reading today is Ephesians 5, 15 to 21, and it will be read by Margaret Smith. Over to you, Margaret, for our reading.
Good morning, everybody. Today's reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Margaret, very much. Our gracious Heavenly Father, your word is rich, and your Spirit wants to apply that word to our minds and hearts and lives. Help us now, we pray, that we would indeed hear you speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you wish you were wiser? Do you wish that you knew God's will for your life better? Do you wish that you knew what to do and say in every situation? My guess is that the answer is yes to all those things for all of us. The story is told of a wealthy man who was advised by his bank manager that he owed £100 and that the interest charge would be £12 a month. The wealthy man insisted that he left his Rolls Royce in the bank car park as security and said he would repay the £100 in a month and pay the £12 as well. A month later, he returned to the bank looking tanned and relaxed. The bank manager asked him why he had insisted on leaving his car as security in the bank car park. The Mitch man replied, "Where else could I get parking for just £12 a month this near to the airport?" We'd love, wouldn't we, to be such quick thinking, wise in those sort of ways, but we'd love even more to know God's will for us more and more clearly. In our series through Ephesians, we have seen how God has become engaged in our lives as individuals and as a church family, and what his plans for us are. We have seen how we are to be pure and holy, and we're not on in that having to do that on our own. We have the Spirit's help. And today we're going to see how God's Spirit helps us to act, live wisely, understanding what God's will is for us. God, you see, wants us to live wisely. And Paul knows that Christians are the wisest people in the world. Now, we may not feel it. We may not have the best academic qualifications. We may not have the biggest brains. How then can we claim to be the wisest? Well, Proverbs 9:10 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's why we're the wisest. But notice that knowing God, for that is what to fear him means, is only the beginning of wisdom. There is more to learn. The world, of course, would find the idea that Christians are the wisest people in the world perverse, stupid maybe. I was listening to a radio interview, and a scientist was being interviewed about the idea there is a link stage between chimps and mankind. And he was challenged on what evidence there was for this. And he said these words, "We found no evidence of such a linked creature, but we will someday. We're sure we will." Nobody challenged him about his lack of evidence. We don't get away with that as Christians. Oh, where's your evidence? How can you say you're the wisest people in the world? Well, not because we have big brains or the best degrees, but because we have God giving us his wisdom and helping us to be wise. So then, what does it look like to be wise? How does it show that we are wise? Well, the first sign of wisdom is we take every opportunity. We take every opportunity. Be very careful, verse 15 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. What does it mean to use our time wisely? And as time seems to fly past farther and faster, and there are more and more ways we can use our times, even within the limits of this time. When we were in lockdown, it was almost easier. There was much less, for most of us, much less sort of pulls on our time. But now, as life is changing a bit, and because we're in the area that we're in, and it's a bit freer, actually how to use our time is becoming increasingly complex again. But Paul wants us to use our time wisely, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. But what does that mean? Paul wants us to use our time in good things, in good ways, not falling for the evil that surrounds us, but choosing the good. And throughout Ephesians, he's been telling us what that good is. We care for each other. We love each other. We live lives of purity. And we live as the children of light. We use our time to serve God, to serve others, to build ourselves up in the faith. C.S. Spurgeon, a famous preacher, was once asked what he would do if he knew Jesus would return in 7 days. And he got his diary out and showed it to the young man, because he wanted to say to that young man, I want to use my time as God wants me to. As I said, Paul has told us that we must live lives of sacrificial love, purity, light shedding, pointing people to the Lord Jesus. When God rescued us in Christ, when the Spirit came to live in us, he came to transform the way we use our time. Now, please hear me say it clearly. I'm not saying that means we should be doing more church activity. It means that we should be doing what God wants us to do with our time. And sometimes I think our diary is one of the things that we find hardest to hand over to the Lord. Lord, may my time be used as you would have it used. Jonathan Edwards, who was later to lead a great revival in America, wrote these words just before his 20th birthday. Resolved never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way I can. Wow, what a thing to write as a 20-year-old. I would never have done that. But we need to use our time wisely, doing what God wants us to do, choosing the activities that he wants us to do. For us as a church family and for the leadership of the church family, that's something we're really concentrating on the moment. Lord, this is still your time. What would you have us do? What would you have us be? What would you have us encourage our church family to be involved in their day-to-day lives? As individuals and as a church family, we want to use our time wisely. True wisdom comes from taking opportunities, using our time wisely. But we'll only do that if, secondly, we discern God's will. Verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Wisdom, the scripture teaches us, is to be found in God's will. There's no great surprise there. He's God, he's our creator, he's our rescuer. In the history of the church, people have come to recognize the reality of God's general will. That is what God wants for all Christian. He wants us to be godly, holy, witnesses to the light, to follow Jesus, to love Jesus, to obey Jesus, to reflect his character. He wants us to love God, love our neighbor, not commit murder, adultery, etc. And for all the Christians, the hard thing in one sense is not knowing what that will is, it's actually doing it, obeying it. That's the battle. We know the will of God, but the battle is to do it. That's why actually things like home groups and sermons and personal study and meeting with fellow Christians are such an encouragement, because they encourage us in this general sense to do what God wants us to do. But there is more. There is a specific will of God, the plans he has for each of us as individuals and for us as a church community. Christ Church St. Andrews is not called to be what other churches are called to be, necessarily. There will be, obviously, for true Bible-believing churches, lots of similarities, but we all have to live it out in the way that God wants us to. It is this we also seek to know. What specifically, Lord, have you planned for me? What have you got planned for our church family? And again, as we read the Bible, as we pray, as we talk to other Christians, as we use our God-given mind and conscience, which is influenced by the Spirit, then we begin to discern afresh what God would have us do. Now, we have to be careful here. We need to have a big enough view of God's greatness that we can trust him, not to be surprised that we sometimes find it hard to discern what his will is, and sometimes maybe we'll get things wrong. But he knows us, and he knows that we'll get those things wrong, and he can cope with that. But if we want to be wise, we need to be committed to wanting to understand what the Lord's will is. And that will show in how often we consult the Lord on our plans, our purposes. How often we consult the Lord and say, I want to walk in your ways. I want to do what you will me to do. What you will us as a church family to do. Wise people take every opportunity, discern God's will. Thirdly, wise people are full of the Spirit, verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, Paul has already told us through Ephesians that they have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. When we become a Christian, we are given the Holy Spirit. Now he tells them that they must be filled with the Spirit. This is indeed the secret of making every opportunity, of discerning the will of God, of being stable and pure and controlled. That's why he contrasts being filled with the Spirit with being drunk, because when people are drunk, they are not stable, they're not self-controlled. In fact, they're unstable and uncontrolled. That's partly why the government has decided on this 10 o'clock thing. For whether that's right or not, they're recognizing that when people are drunk, they're unstable and uncontrolled. When we are filled with the Spirit, we are able to make the most of every opportunity to discern the will of God, to be stable and controlled. Now, we need to understand what Paul is saying here. The language he uses makes it clear that he has in mind a constant and continual filling of the Spirit. That actually, it's a daily, almost, refilling of the Spirit. It's why it's perfectly all right every morning to say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit today. And that Spirit is a bit like one of those water features in a garden which is constantly being refilled from another source. That's the picture here. And that refilling means that we flow out, in a sense, that the Spirit flows out of us through good works and through all we are and do. We must take every opportunity God sends our way. We must discern his general and specific will for us. But I will only do that if we are being filled with the Spirit. And this is not something for a super elite. This promise is for everybody, that all of us can be daily filled with the Spirit. And that doesn't mean that we'll be doing spectacular things necessarily. We may, but we may not. Be they spectacular or not, amazing or ordinary, being filled with the Spirit is God's gift to us. I was on a Cypher youth camp and one person was trying to explain this to the teenagers, and she said, imagine you've died and you've gone to heaven and you get shown around heaven, you get shown to the heavenly post office, not saying there will be one, and in the post office you see in the corner a pile of parcels with your name on it, and you go to the heavenly post mistress or master, why are those parcels there unopened? And the postmistress or postmaster looks sadly and says, those were the days where you didn't take advantage of all the resources that God had for you. God promises that he will daily refill us with his Spirit. That's why the Christian life is so attractive, so amazing. Because this daily filling of the Spirit means we can take every opportunity God gives us. We can increasingly know God's will for our life and live that out. His good, pleasing and perfect will. Be filled with the Spirit. Finally, wise people encourage their fellow Christians to be focused on God, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul recognizes that we should allow others to encourage us and we should encourage others to focus on Jesus. Now, in a sense, this seems to speak of public corporate worship. And I know at the moment that's not always easy. But he wants us, whenever we gather together, whenever we can gather together, to make sure we're focused on the Lord and that our worship comes from the heart. And that encourages all who are taking part. And so it is vitally important that if we can gather together, we do. And we don't somehow look back and go, oh, it's not like it used to be. And that shouldn't be a reason for us not coming to gather together. We come to gather together because it is good for us. Because we encourage each other. We give thanks to God together. We honour the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I know that for some, coming to church is still not safe, and I understand that. But if it is safe, and you can do it, come and join us at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Those services have been a real encouragement, I know, to many who have come. So come and join us. And if you can't do that, then at least use the 11 o'clock to be a place where you are encouraged to focus on God. I find as I come to the 11 o'clock service, I find it really helpful to do what I would probably normally do in church. So I stand up every time the songs come on. I tend to stand for the creed. Sometimes I kneel. I want to actively engage. Doesn't matter if you're in your pyjamas or not. But can I encourage you to set aside so you're not eating breakfast or you're not distracted by other things. But we come and focus and are encouraged because we know others are doing it with us. What an amazing section this is. What an attractive call it is. To be wise rather than foolish. To use our time to glorify God. To discern the will of God for us. To daily experience the filling of the Holy Spirit. be encouraged as we meet together. Will you be wise this week and in the weeks ahead? We're going to have a moment's quiet in order to just ask God to fill us by his Spirit today and in the days ahead, so that we can be wise and take them every opportunity. So a moment's quiet for our own time with the Lord. Lord, fill us with your Spirit that we would be wise, taking the most of every opportunity, encouraging one another, and knowing your general and specific plans and will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.